As part of our exploration of police and community relations, we've partnered with the East Bay Express. In the wake of this summer's video recordings of police shootings of Alton Sterling and Philando Castile, they published a series of commentaries, and we recorded some of them for you. Today, we'll hear from two mothers who wrote about their struggles talking with their young sons about race and racism. First, we'll hear from Cheryl Lane, who lives with her 4-year-old son in Richmond.
The world sees him as just a cute boy, right? And I've always said that. I remember when he was really young, I used to see him. He was like a magnet. It didn't matter who and what you were, what nationality, age, he just drew people to him. We could be in a restaurant, we could be shopping for shoes, and people would always come up to him. And then I remember thinking that one day they won't do that because they'll be scared of him, right? So they won't just be friendly and say, hey, how are you doing? He's too young for me to say, hey, one day you're not gonna be liked because people are gonna think you're gonna do something to them or that you're a threat or dangerous, you know? One day I'll have to have that conversation with them. All kids have innocence at some point, and then that innocence is gone because they realize what the real world is like, right? But some kids won't have to worry about being perceived a certain way because of their skin color. So I think that's the major difference, and that's why there's sadness there. Breathing in Black by Cheryl Lane. Why did they kill him? Did they kill him because he was wearing a red shirt? That's unfair. Those were the words coming from my 4-year-old Black son as we watched television and together witnessed the brutality and killing of Alton Sterling by Baton Rouge police officers. So in my 4-year-old's mind, the only connection he could make for what he was seeing was that a man was killed because he wore a red shirt and it was wrong for police officers to take his life. What I didn't tell my son is that Alton was killed not because his shirt was red, but because his skin was black, his gender was male, and that one day he will be looked upon the same way. A threat because he is breathing in black. I know enough to know that my son's threat index is rising by the year. My son and I have robust conversations about everything from Curious George and Fireman Sam to Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. But I'm also beginning to incorporate race and social justice into our conversations, which he tries to understand but doesn't quite get yet. Will my son sell DVDs and CDs outside of a store and have the police called on him? Will he be driving a car with his girlfriend like Philando Castile and be pulled over by police and within minutes be shot to death in the front seat? To all these things I say, I don't know. I can't predict every experience in his future. I can only prepare him for it. I strive for him to be well-educated, to be kind, strong, confident, and enlightened, but none of these things are a shield against racism, implicit bias, and oppression. So what do I want? There are a menu of ideas out there from body cameras, better police training, and prosecution. But more than anything, I want my son and all Black women and men to be seen as human. Let's start there.
That was Cheryl Lane of Richmond reading from a commentary she wrote for the East Bay Express. Another mom, Vicky Machiavello, lives in Oakland. As a white woman, Vicky says she was raised to be colorblind, but was not challenged to think about the complexities or origins of racism. Now, she wants to do better in teaching her own sons about the issue. She wrote a personal essay titled, Please Join Me. Here's an excerpt.
I couldn't sleep after watching the videos, the murder and lack of concern for fellow human beings, death at the hands of those sworn to protect. I know it's not new. I've hardly spoken up before. I'm white. What would I say? How could I say something and not appear ignorant or stupid or trite? But this time it's different. I'm not sure exactly how, but it is. I'm willing to take a risk, willing to stand up and be uncomfortable. But is this enough? Not really, when I lay awake at night wondering how Black mothers must look at their beautiful boys and feel a fear I will never fully understand. I want to tell myself I made a difference, but I've only just begun. I'm far from the social justice warrior I wish myself to be. I can do so little as one person, but I will stand in my discomfort and I will say without exception that Black lives matter. I will say it, live it, and teach it to my own sons until it is true. Without exception. Perhaps you can too. Please join me. I will go places with my, this is gonna make me cry. I mean, I'll go places with my kids and I'll be in a restaurant and I will, some, it's usually around mass shootings, but suddenly I'll just be like, oh my God, someone could come in here and blow us all away right now. It could just be done right now and it could be that quick, you know? And in those moments, I like take stock of my kids, take stock of the doors and like realize like, how am I gonna protect all of them right now? You know, and that's a, like a very real thing I feel weekly, you know? It's scary and life is not guaranteed for any of us, you know? It's really devastating that skin color can dictate that it's more or less guaranteed for others. And I think that is really baloney. You know, I think that's horrible. It's horrible.